Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That was very neat, wasn't it?
Very, very slutty.
That was her second go, though. Do you remember? A few minutes ago, she got it all wrong. She made a mess. It's not like Daisy, is it? Hey, episode 225.
225? That's ridiculous.
We're fucking relentless, we are. We really are.
What do we find to gas on about?
Well, I don't know. I have a horrible feeling now and again we repeat ourselves. I tell you what, if we pulled up, because we have what we laughingly call notes on each episode, if we pulled up some random notes from maybe this time last year, probably wouldn't be that different.
Oh, Jenny, that's a terrifying thought. But, you know, I think they could be totally interchangeable.
Yeah, there'd be something wrong with me, something a bit wrong with you,
exactly.
Something going, yeah, we'd be some yakking on about the twins, yes. Yakking on about Arlo, yes. We'd be thinking about Christmas. It's life, Judith.
That's life. Isn't
it's
it?
Relentless.
That's life. The cycle of life or something.
The cycle of life. Now, did you get the felt Christmas tree that Jeff...
I have not got the felt Christmas tree. I'm touched that you posted it and that Jeff had to
well,
go to the
post
office.
Well, I didn't. Jeff posted it because, you know, I have a phobia. I've developed a post office phobia because I find it more convenient to say...
That is the way to go.
Yeah. Everything you don't like, just say, sadly, really allergic to doing that.
Either that, or I think we could extend it to include that thing that old people do as well, which is, I can't manage that. Sorry, I just can't manage that. I can't manage that.
I think young people do that, though, Judith. I think it's a new thing that the under 30s do. It's like one of those survival mechanisms that they learnt during lockdown. And, you know, like young people are just very, very... they're very... defensive about their well-being, as you know we all should be. But they have started saying, no, I can't manage that. If they don't want to do that,
you might
I can't
be
manage
right.
that. I'm sorry, I can't manage it. Because how do you come back to that?
Exactly.
How do you actually say, well, why not?
Yeah, it's a full stop.
Yeah, I can't manage that.
Well, if they're doing that, we're going to have to either copy or we're going to have to find something else, aren't we?
I genuinely really can't manage that. to divide ourselves from the young people who are obviously faking it, but we are saying, I genuinely really can't
manage that. Threaten a kind of stroke or funny turn.
Oh, careful. Funny turn. Let's keep it as a funny turn. Let's not
absolutely.
Go... Yeah, yeah. I'm very disappointed about this because he posted it on Saturday.
Oh, God,
and it's now
Thursday. Oh, bugger.
Bear if it's gone missing. I mean, the thing is, Judith, they are about a tenner on Amazon.
No, but it's very,
it's the
very
sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. It probably will. We've got a very strange, I was going to say doorknob. I mean, you know, what do you call those things that you put the letters through?
Letterbox.
It's quite a difficult one to find. So it might not go in there, might it?
I check your outhouses.
Well, because, I do that regularly, but,
yeah,
you know,
because I reckon they would just sling in an outhouse.
Yes, that could be the case. But
and sometimes they don't leave. They should do a follow-up message. Just say, I slung it in your outhouse.
Nah, this time of year, they don't bother now.
Too busy?
Too busy. But you know what? I think our postwoman, it's called a postwoman, and she doesn't wear shorts, unlike all the blokes. Nice woman. But you know what I think might happen in the post office these days? I think they might be cutting costs. This is a cynic in me. And what happens is you don't get anything for about 5 or 6 days, and you get a massive load. And I think they save them up to save do you know what I mean?
Right. Do you think you're a bit a limb on the round?
Little bit.
Okay. Yes, they've got excuse with us. We're on a main road. Everyone's watching.
Exactly.
And yes, our postman, we have different girls and boys.
Oh,
and the boys, you're absolutely right, still wearing shorts. It's a postman thing, isn't it?
Uniform. It is.
Do let me know tree arrives. What I was going to say.
Yeah, go on.
Cannot believe that it's December tomorrow.
It's whizzed by, hasn't it?
November dissolved. It dissolved like a teaspoon of sugar in a
nice
cup
analogy.
Of tea.
Nice
analogy. I
don't
even eat sugar in tea. I don't even have milk in it. I couldn't think of anything worse. But that November, I didn't do anything in November. I was just ill. I went to Ireland. I got ill. And I just flonked around the house for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Flonked is a good word, isn't
flonked.
It, really?
I was just mega flonking.
I know, we were quite worried about you, sort of, you know, you did. I mean, you sent it, you rang in sick for the pod. We know it's bad when you do that.
Did really I ring in bad. Sick? I can't even remember
you
that.
Did. Yeah, you missed one. Yeah, we had to do a little...
we did, didn't we? You had to do a sick note.
Sick note, yeah.
Bloody hell. No, we've only done that a couple of times,
exactly.
Haven't we? We've only absented ourselves a couple of times. I mean, you're always doing it because you're on holiday. You're on some jaunt somewhere, you know.
Spiteful,
you pretend you can't
that,
get Wi-Fi in your posh hotel. You know, in actual fact, you just can't be asked.
We're troopers, aren't we? I mean, generally, we're
we
troopers.
Try. We do try. Anyway, you've had a full-on week with the twins, talking about being a trooper.
Exhausted. Really, really knackered. Do you know, I sort of suddenly hit a brick wall and I told everybody.
Oh, quite brilliant.
Worried. Yeah, I did. See, that's another one.
Were there tears?
There were tears. There was a lot of build-up to it, which was me saying to everybody, do I look tired? God, I'm tired. I said, I just hit a brick wall. Too much cooking, cleaning, washing, too much of the twins. Oh, we have the twins a lot. I love them, but honestly.
Yeah, I know, but that's what it was kind of unfortunate what happened, wasn't it? Sienna and James went to a wedding. Well, you know how I feel about weddings where,
well,
you
me
know,
too
children
now. Changed the tune about weddings since what happened to Ellen, I tell you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've always been very suspicious of weddings. I absolutely loathe them anyway. You can write in as much as you like, everybody. I'm not going to change my mind. But poor old Sienna and James had to go away for a weekend for a bloody wedding, right? And I presume the twins weren't invited because, you know, people are a bit funny about toddlers at weddings.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they were left in your capable hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Left in our capable hands.
Their flight got cancelled.
Oh,
so you had the twins
canceled.
For another night.
Oh, never have I read a WhatsApp and thought, oh, my God. And it was like... You know, yeah, cancelled. So then we had to, there was all sorts of things that we had to recalibrate. Worse than that, they went to the wrong airport. You know, they got diverted to the wrong airport. Might had to write to drive to Luton, pick up the hire car from. Oh, it was awful. So I was left, Ellen and I were left holding the twins for a very, very long shift. And then they started to get ill and then really ill. And then the next day they had to go, Stanley had to go to hospital. And it was just like one thing after another.
Yeah.
And yeah, never mind me hitting a brick wall. I just had to hit it. But
It's and so you didn't. And in amongst all that, you know, last week you promised that you'd be doing a craft afternoon with them.
Yeah,
I bet that went by the wayside,
oh,
didn't
so
it, Judith?
Down the, oh, so did. Done it since. They weren't interested at all. I ended up doing it.
Well, you'd have enjoyed yourself, but that's a nice thing for you to do. Just, sort of, I bet you were there going, no, just go and play over there, just. Just
yes,
leave
here we
her
are.
Alone.
We want a little look, a dot there, and look, I'll do it. Yeah.
You weren't trying to control dots, were you? Judith, you can't control the creativity of a toddler.
Well, can't you?
You've got to just let them, because Arlo's a two-handed drawer. He draws with a felt tip in one hand, felt tip in the other.
That's very nice. That's seriously. Well, I should have been doing that with Arlo. Arlo, I probably could leave to it.
Yeah.
But the twins were more interested in painting their malted milk biscuits than they were painting the bloody pages.
Well, that's creative as well. That's, you know, sort of shown early signs of Bake Off. I have to say, we watched the Bake Off final. I've never seen so much shit in all my life.
Shit as in what?
Well, you know, there were the showstopper cakes at the end. Now, this is not very pleasant of me, but, you know, I normally do a Waterstones event with the three last contestants standing.
Oh, you do, don't you?
And yeah, they've cancelled that this year because apparently made absolutely no difference in the sales whatsoever.
Mm.
So I'm not doing that. So I can be as mean as I like. But I have to say, and I particularly liked the winner. I'm not going to say in case people haven't seen it, but I really, really did like that winner. But as it's become a thing now on the final of Bake Off, where their showstoppers are quite crap.
Oh, what, crappy, not very well done, or
just not very well done? They try too hard, or they just everything goes wrong, and three really weedy specimens are brought up to the table. And of course, because it's a final, everyone has to pretend they're marvellous. But in actual fact, one day Prue's going to crack and go, "What a load of crap! What have you done here?" So Jeff and I were just watching, and Jeff was saying, "You know, there are some really bad cake shops in South London, and they wouldn't, none of them would have these in the window."
Really?
Yeah.
God, I see, I'm bored with it. I'm sorry. I've got...
Well, you know, I don't think you're on your own. I'm not sure if you... You know, and I'll tell you the other thing that nobody's watching is I'm a celebrity. Nobody's watching it. Grace has walked out.
Has she? Walked out? Has she flounced? Why?
Not flounced, no. Medical grounds, flown home. I think she was very, very unhappy. I don't know whether, and this is just gossip and tittle-tattle, everybody, so just don't, you know, do not take my word as gospel. Never, ever take anything that Judith and I ever say on this podcast as gospel, for God's sake.
Very dangerous. Yeah,
really
go on.
Really dangerous. But I think she had to do one of those awful challenges where she got a cockroach in her ear. And it really made her panic, and they had to get it out. Now, I know that if you've got a very vivid imagination and a teeny bit paranoid, which is what the jungle does to you, she might have thought that that is still in there. I feel infected, I feel. And she just started to look really... this is according to the newspapers and you know, Twitter gossip. She just started to look really ill, really unhappy. Anxious, unhappy, and so thin.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sad to hear that. She was my fave. I mean,
I think it was. I'm looking forward to her talking about it actually, and just because I'd really like some clarification on what went wrong. I mean, I know because I had some paranoid, very very paranoid moments in that camp.
Somebody asked me the other day what you found the most difficult about being in the jungle, and I'm not sure that I ever really asked you properly. What was difficult? Most difficult.
Boredom, the weather, damp, wet weather, relentless rain. It was bizarre, the weather that year, and I think they're having something similar this year, and that really is puts a downer on anything because you can never dry out. Everything's permanently damp. I mean, they put a sort of tent-like structure over the sleeping area, so that's not, you know, but it just creeps in. It creeps in from the leaves and the soil and everything, and you're just dirty. You're just dirty all the time. And, you know, there is that, you can go to that shower place and all that, but it's cold, everything's cold and a bit miserable. It's like a never-ending, you know me, I'm not a camper, Judith. And it's like that. And as people go, there are fewer and fewer people to talk to. I mean, I was very lucky because Dom and I got on very well. And he came fourth, I came third. So, you know, there wasn't much in it. But I just... There were moments, there were a couple of things that we all had to do, and I did some so badly. There was an improv game, and I nearly died of embarrassment, and this is truth. I went to the hideaway hut thing. Right. I said, please don't show that on the television. I think it might ruin my career. And of course they did. They probably even showed that bit. I don't know.
Oh, probably. You know.
But there's
almost
some things that, especially... Now I'd be able to tackle it much better because I just feel more confident improvising. But 13 years ago, I just hadn't had it.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
Were you frightened in there? Were the things that they got you to do that were really... I mean, I would be frightened. I know I would.
Yeah. But you're a big wuss. You're a big, strong girl who looks totally confident and like they're going to be able to tackle anything. That's a little snivelling ninny. No, I wasn't. I do put great faith in, probably a bit stupidly, in television production companies and think they wouldn't let us do this if we're going to die. And that's how, you know, I've managed to do quite a lot of things that I wouldn't necessarily have done without a camera on me.
Yes, I know what you mean. I have to say they really push it, I think, on I'm a Celebrity. Some of the risks they take, I think. I have a horrible feeling. I hope I'm wrong that one day, you know, actually...
Well, you know, there was a very near miss when I walked to the bathroom one night and one of those big power cam lights fell out of the sky and literally landed 3 feet away. I mean, if that had landed on my head, but there we go. It didn't, but that really shocked them. That shocked them, you know, as much as any amount of snakes or whatever. But anyway,
I bet because you'd have your eye on the tasks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and then just
rather
those,
than that,
yeah, absolutely. Anyway, listen.
Yes.
I had Arlo the other day because you've done a bit of Twin, and I'm glad everybody. Are they all back to full health now, or on the way to full health.
Oh, yeah, they're fine now. Absolutely fine. They bounce back quickly, don't they?
It's terrifying, isn't it? It really is. I had a very, very busy day with Arlo. It's very busy, very busy. He sort of creates a little office wherever he is. And, still not walking. I'm really trying to get him to do some walking, but he just can't see
the point. He's busy. Busy in the office.
He's too busy in the office. He's got a lot of puzzles. He likes his puzzles. He can do all the animal noises now.
Can he?
All the animal noises, including Eeyore for donkey, which I think is quite sophisticated.
Oh, do you mean as well as neigh for horse?
Yeah.
He's got neigh and... Oh, bloody hell, that is
I don't think he's got neigh.
It?
I think he's just got Eeyore, actually.
Okay.
I don't think he can say neigh. Okay. But pig is really the first word, his go-to word. Pig. And he has to have a pig in some shape or form in his hand at all times.
Gosh, does he? Does he really? Yeah. That's his thing.
Those little plastic animals are his thing. They've mentioned this at nursery about how Arlo likes to have plastic animal in each hand and doesn't like sharing them.
Of course he doesn't. Who would?
Like, he's already showing terrible signs of only child.
Right, right.
Because we have this farm jigsaw here. You know, when I say jigsaw, it's just the shapes.
The thing is shapes, yes.
And that's his go-to jigsaw. And he was going home time. Tristram had come to pick him up. And when we tried to make him leave the jigsaw pig behind, he went berserk. He went...
How? What did he do? Does he
face
describe?
Down on the floor screaming.
Yeah. That's a full on. They learn. Yeah. They just learn how to do that, don't they?
It's a hairline trigger thing. It's bizarre. And you'd been... I've just got to come clean on something else because you'd have been so disappointed in me. I ran out of food for him, Judith.
Jenny, you didn't.
Yeah,
how
I did.
Did you do that? Literally
dead
ran
easy.
Out of food. Don't believe you.
No, really, because remember, he doesn't do dairy and he can't do eggs.
Oh, God.
So it's not like I can just go in the fridge and go, oh, here's a couple of eggs. I'll scramble those up dead easy, blah, blah. I thought I had a jar of vegan pesto, but Jeff and I had accidentally eaten it the week before. So what I ended up doing for his tea, right, I boiled up some pasta and I found an old jar of baby spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, God.
That for 7 months, cheese-free. And I put that on top. And he ate it with a cold cauliflower bite from lunch. And you could see on his face that he was thinking, my expectations for meals at Nana's house are very low. Very low indeed.
Yeah, well, if he's worked that out, it's probably as well, isn't it?
It's
probably
definitely for the best. It's, just keep those expectations really low.
Mind you, I think he's going to enjoy creativity at yours. I think that's going to be the fun he's going to have there, actually. You've
Jeff
got more patience
car,
with him.
Jeff drew him a car. He went beep, beep. He got that. And I drew him a pig and a sheep. And I was quite pleased. And I drew him a dog. And he didn't seem to recognise that. So I've got to work on my dog.
Gosh, you have, haven't you?
Yeah. Anyway, listen, what about your family reunion for 14?
Oh, yes.
No wonder you had a massive breakdown this week.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, amongst all that, I'd organised a family reunion for 14 of us.
Why, Judith?
Why? Well, somebody has to, do you know what I mean? And I find myself doing it, and I know I can't help it. I'm on the WhatsApp group, and everyone's talking, and then I say, well, what about, and then I've offered, and there you are. Yeah. I offered, but I did it instead of doing it here, which, frankly, you know, you haven't got quite so much control over, have you, really? I did it in the village hall, which I thought might be a sort of neutral space. Everyone brings their own food. Well, you know, food, a dish and everything.
Yeah.
And it would be lower maintenance. But it's still quite a lot of trouble, isn't it? You've got to open up the hall and get everything sorted and buy the milk. And I'm sounding a bit miserable now, aren't I? But I did most of the food. And it was jolly nice. But the best thing is, I won the Trey Game trophy back from Siena.
Thank God for that. Thank God
for
that. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't sound very impressed.
Because that's been a year, hasn't it?
It's been a year.
In the wrong hands.
On the shelves, exactly. Still the right family, you know, which is a relief.
How many were involved in the Trey Game?
Well, most people were only half involved, I think, because they can't be asked. I mean, they put on a show. But so the people that were right up next to the tray, you know, chair under the table, shh, No talking.
Yeah.
Sienna, Ellen, me, and, Mike doesn't, can't be bothered because he always loses. So, yes, mostly people in my family. But, yeah, a couple of people on the nursery slopes are rather keen to win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we
was it tense, Judith? Did you feel quite tense?
It was quite tense. It was quite tense.
So what did you cook? How did you kind of choreograph a meal with people bringing all different dishes? That confuses me.
Well,
or did you issue orders?
Of course I did. I did baked potatoes, which I kept warm in silver foil. And I made a massive batch of coleslaw. And in order to do that, I sent off for a cabbage shredder that was specially for coleslaw.
Now, a receptacle that you tip a load of cabbage in and it chops it up in a plastic domed thing, a container? Are you just talking about a mandolin?
A sort of like a mandolin, but it was on Amazon and it was special. It was kind of, coleslaw was the sort of top line on it. So I honed in on that It's quite good. I mean, there's a bit of a sort of A&E trip danger.
Do you have to watch your fingertips? Do you have to make sure you don't go down to the bone?
Yeah. And I put my gardening, not my gardening gloves, I put my marigolds on while I did it, but really I could do with some special, it does look quite dangerous, but very good, actually.
You want those very gloves quick. That people use, you know, when they're shucking oysters, and bit of chain mail.
Chain mail gloves.
Chain mail gloves.
But could be quite useful. There's something to go on my Christmas list.
And did someone bring a quiche?
Oh, yes, of course.
So it was like a 1970s buffet.
Well, it was. I mean, where can you go wrong? But
you can't go wrong with that.
You can't. But better than that, and I thought of you, there were two large pork pies on the table brought by people. Yes, yes. One that was, I think, from Sainsbury's, but the other one, and I did inquire, from Morrison's. Yeah. And it got a lattice top. My mouth's watering just describing it. Lattice top. And inside it was quite sort of herby. Oh, it was good.
And were they both, they were pork, they weren't game or anything like that? They were
pork.
And nobody had mucked about with them and put sort of a layer of cranberry in or anything like that?
No.
And were you sort of comparing and contrasting? Or did you just enjoy them both, Judith?
Just enjoy them both. But Morrison's was a cut above, I have to say. If you're in Morrison's, look for the lattice top, whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's the specification, is the lattice top pork pie.
Solid. It was solid, Jenny. Oh, I thought of you.
There's nothing like the sensation of putting a knife into a large pork pie and feeling the resistance of that, the solid pie within. Anyway, well done. There you go. And well, I did. I spent last weekend. Saturday, I did a talk for a menopause event. Do you remember the menopause, Judith? Do you remember it?
Only great, vaguely, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's quite a long time to go for me. Very long
time ago. I think you're allowed to give yourself 10 years of the menopause.
Do you reckon?
I think that is meant to be medically how long it takes. And I would count my menopause at starting at 51 or 52.
Okay. So run out? You think you've run out of excuses to use it as an excuse for being vile?
And I was very upfront on this talk, said, you know, as a post-menopausal woman, I thought, you know, we can't cling to this. I'd be looking at me thinking, bloody hell. But it was at the Design Centre in Islington. And honestly, it's just a big old empty space with stands in it. And it was like doing a gig on St Pancras Station. There was no theatre.
Oh, God. Oh, that sounds hard work, Jenny.
I just had to stand up. Everyone was really nice. I just had to stand up for 15 minutes and yell my head off. I mean, I had my own mic. I always take my own mic. You know what I'm like.
Thank God. Hold on a minute. A menopause event. What does that mean? What are they doing? Flogging things?
There were lots of stands, lots of doctors, lots of Q&A, lots of, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? Now, I mean, it's a bit like, I remember us talking about, you know, when you had babies. We're quite interested, but until our daughters had babies again,
I've totally changed my attitude about helping women with buggies, about being furious with people on the bus who sit in the wrong place, so women who get on with buggies have got nowhere to sit. You just think there's so much fucking selfishness and lack of thought when it comes to, you know, young women and buggies and all this kind of thing. And I'm really, you know, I'm on the lookout for all that all the time. I'm kind of, I'm primed to step in.
As only we can be.
As only we can do. Also sort of feeling rather smug and good about ourselves when we say, here you go, darling, why don't you take this seat so that you can sit near your baby? Oh, I like saying that in a really loud voice so that, you know, all the people who haven't offered their seat can sit there in shame.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I did a great one on the bus, actually, the other day.
Oh, go on, what?
Right. So there's two boys, they're about 13, sitting on... I'm standing, obviously, because 13-year-old boys take precedence on the bus. They're watching some soft porn on one of their phones.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, it was a girl doing cartwheels. I count that as, I don't know. I couldn't really see. I was really trying my best.
Yeah.
And then the phone goes, right? And it's obviously a boy that they don't want to see. And one goes, before he answers, it goes, oh, here he is phoning now. And he answers the phone. And this lad is obviously saying, well, where are you? And he lied. He instantly said, we're at King's and it's like really busy and there's like masses of people. And I just thought, I'm not having this shit. And I just leant in. I said, oh, no, we're not at King's yet. You've got a few more stops to go. We're still in, you know, on the hill. About three more stops and then you'll be at King's. We're not there yet.
Oh, Jenny, that. Do you know,
and they were looking at me and all this sort of things and all this. And I went, oh, I get it. You're lying to your mate. And then I got off the bus because it was my stop.
What I love about that is that you dressed it up as if you were initially being helpful, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, look, listen, sorry. Yeah, it's you, but you're not.
Yeah,
nice.
You're not Atkins. Don't get off here. Don't get off here. You've got it wrong. Lads.
That is good. That's top notch.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot of people have joined in with my mushroom obsession.
Oh, my God. Are you still on that?
Yep, I am. It's not Snorlaw, Judith.
Well...
because some of the pictures that I have been sent have been the most glorious things. There's something very sexual about a mushroom.
Oh, very. now it's all coming out, is it?
Yeah.
I see. Phallic, are they? Is that what you're saying?
Of course they are, yeah. Great big really knob on the end of a stem. Yeah, but... covered in spots, oozing poison. I just think sort of aesthetically some of them are extraordinary. There are some really, really... and I think they hold secrets. I would not be surprised. People are... I just think there's magic in mushrooms. I mean, there literally are. There are magic mushrooms. But... and I'm not interested in anything like that. But I do think that they might hold medicinal and... future, I don't know.
I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say to this, Jenny.
No, there's no way.
I think you're on your own. I have to say, I know you've got a group of the gang that are interested
too. Yeah,
we're in the corner.
Yeah. If
in
we're
mushroom
all in
corner.
The village hall,
yes,
there would be a little corner of the mushroom lovers, maybe looking at a mushroom book together. I don't know.
I think your mushroom patrol. I think it's going to be a small patrol, I've got to be honest.
Oh,
and you're very welcome to run it. and be in charge of this.
You might underestimate the interest in the fungi.
I'm sure you're not plotting some poisonous mushroom thing like that.
No, I'd never eat one. Of course, since my mushroom obsession came from absolutely nowhere, I haven't managed to spot one anywhere on a walk anywhere.
Mind you,
the biggest walk I've done was down Longacre recently, so that was unlikely. right, I tell you what we're going to enjoy next, Judith, a visit to Culture Corner.
As opposed to Mushroom Corner. Right, where are we starting? TV? Oh, I've got some good things to report. First of all, one recommendation from Daisy. I don't think we talked about it last week, which was The Boy Who Lived.
This is the documentary, is it about the stuntman?
Brilliant documentary about, it's terribly, terribly sad. It's about an amazing bloke called David Holmes, who was the stunt double as a boy, really, on Harry Potter for Daniel Radcliffe, right?
Yeah.
Right from the beginning. Gifted boy who was just, you know, could do anything. And the most, you know, enthusiastic, ebullient boy. They sort of grew up together, you know, through the films, and Daniel really wanted to be him, and there's all the footage of them on set and talking off camera, and then there's sort of lots of home movies, and then one day on rehearsal, this David Holmes he basically breaks his neck, and this terrible stunt goes wrong, and I mean they didn't show the footage of the actual accident, thank goodness, because you could see, I thought, oh my God, I didn't know, go watch it. But basically paralysed. I mean, paralysed, could use his arms, but then that's now going.
Oh,
and then
geez.
The documentary picks that up and sort of the friendship that Daniel sort of keeps with him and also his mates and the kindness. And this guy's courage is courage and enthusiasm. It's a wonderful documentary. And it's not kind of mawkish. It's tasteful. And, yeah, I would really recommend that.
So that's The Boy Who Lived. I think it's on Now TV. Okay, so I'm going to pop one in on the telly slot now. I'm going to go for a drama. It was Archie. We were looking forward to this last week. And I found it had, the first episode particularly had terrible sound quality problems.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Oh, so much. Yes, thought was something wrong with our remote.
Yeah, we had to ride the remote control up and down throughout the first episode. It was very strange. There was a real lack of quality control coming in there. And it was on ITVX.
I loved it.
And I just thought, yeah, I enjoyed it. I particularly thought that Jason Isaacs was wonderful and the girl playing, what was her name?
Diane Cannon.
Yes. And I loved a little bit of the LA sunshine and all that kind of thing. I thought there was a little bit, I didn't rate the two young Archies at all, which is quite horrible of me, but
they were fine, but not, I mean, yes, maybe not as good as they could be. But I thought that character, the character of Cary Grant, he's sort of obsessive, you know, kind of cleanliness and neatness. And I don't know, he was a fascinating and completely self-constructed, wasn't he? You know, the accent, the mannerisms, everything.
I need to catch up because we've only watched that first one. We got a little bit sidetracked.
Keep with it.
I will keep with it. And apparently the sound quality improves.
Yes.
We got sidetracked embarrassingly by Squid Game The Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the drama, Judith?
No, I didn't. I remember you really got into it, but I have dipped into the Squid Game, the one that's on now, and I can see it's like that old guy James Japanese thing, but like massively, massively more, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good thing to get hooked on, but it's too late. Jeff and I are hooked. And we've finished the amount of episodes that have dropped so far, and we are waiting now for bated breath. It's a bit like The Crown. They've only dropped a certain amount of episodes. And they're down to about 60 contestants now. So it's just going to get more and more intense. And I'm for it. I'm there for it. That's all I'm going to say. The next game they're going to be playing is the marble challenge, and that is going to knock another 50% out.
What does that mean?
Oh, you don't know. It's another language, Judith. You'd have to watch the whole thing. Anyway, it is, if anybody wants to, you know, lose a portion of their life to something that is ridiculous, I can only recommend Squid Game, the challenge.
I just want to add one more thing about telly, because it started last night, and if you're into it, it's just, it's really exciting to know that there's a new series, which is Slow Horses on Apple TV with Gary Oldman and Kristen Scott Thomas, amongst others. It is, it's just better than ever. Witty, ridiculous, unusual, gripping, thrilling. It's wonderful. I would really
Jeff and I
that.
Must get back onto that, because we watched a couple of episodes and really liked it, and then got interrupted by something else and forgot.
Some crap.
No, I think I'm going to have to leave notes by the television. I'm going to have to put up sticky notes just saying, don't forget.
Like we did on the Radio Times. You'll be having that highlighter out if you're not careful.
Yeah, you know, I need to sort of like have a little telly notebook. Of recommendations and why don't you try this and that? Anyway, what about live? I have a live show tonight to go and see Judith.
Do you? Where?
Yes. Jeff and I have scored freebies for My Neighbour Totoro at the Barbican. Now, this is one of those Japanese manga kind of films, I think, but it's been done live. I think this is quite a triumphant freebie, to be honest.
Right.
And I think it's going to be a bit of a spectacle. So that's tonight. And then I've got, you remember Niece Daisy that used to live up in our attic?
Absolutely.
She's got one of her first Lambda public plays on Saturday. And it's a play called Scandal Town by Mike Bartlett. I know nothing about it.
Oh, Mike Bartlett's a brilliant writer.
Well, yes, he's a good writer. Did he write Cock?
I don't know about that. He wrote Charles III, which is one of the best things I've ever seen on stage. And he wrote Doctor Something or Other on ITV. He's a really, really classy writer.
Yeah. I think actually I've met him at the Royal Court once. But anyway, it's Scandal Town. I don't know who she's playing, but she'll be ever so good. And so is there anything live, Judith, that you want to mention? Or
I went undercover, really.
Yeah,
and
saw
Shagged, Married, Annoyed. Live, mark, at get this, Wembley.
The arena, 12,500 people.
Something like that. It was full. It was a spectacle. It was a great show.
Were you a bit jealous? Were you a bit jealous?
It started and I thought, oh, this is quite good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? Really, I think they know what they're doing. I think that Chris and Rosie Ramsey, this is a phenomenon. They started their podcast the same week we started our podcast. They had the same producer. That's our Daisy. But it just hit a nerve amongst the podcast generation. And, you know, hard as we may try, our demographic is coming slowly into the podcast phenomenon. But, you know, they have been slow to, not slow, because we're not blaming anybody, but there is a younger demographic that is, I think, quite a lot of young marrieds who suddenly find themselves stuck at home with
audience,
small children. This is a podcast that has them written all over.
They're just charming. They're a charming couple. And that's such an interesting thing to pull off, isn't it? I mean, they are authentic with a capital A. And Rosie in particular is, very, very open, so talented. I mean, funny that he was the comedian that did The Fringe and so on, and, you know, got the kind of TV gigs. And then she just had this idea, and with a lot of Daisy's help, that they fashioned this extraordinary gang.
She'd come from the cruise ships. She has show business form. You know, she can sing, dance, and do everything.
Yeah.
And, extremely likeable. And as you say, it's that authenticity that people really go for. So I turned the invitation down. I was offered a freebie ticket, but I thought, can I be asked to go down out to Wembley, sitting in the arena?
Started at 8. It's too late for us.
It's
far
too late
for us.
Yeah. It's got to be. It's really got to be a matinee, hasn't it, these days? But anyway, I'm going out tonight. I'm already dreading it.
Of course you are.
No, I'm not dreading it. That's silly, because What we've done, we've been very clever, Judith. We've booked ourselves a car parking space at the Barbican. Because it's quite difficult to get to the Barbican. And so we're going to set off early. We're going to set off about 5 o'clock, I think. It's starting at 7 tonight because it's press night.
I like that. That's a decent start. If you're going to go in the evening, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, even if it's over long, even if it's 2.5 hours,
you
should still be
out
by
9:30. You've got some leeway, haven't you? Yeah, you've got a little bit of wriggle room. What are you having to eat? Are we eating?
Well, I think we'll go into town. We'll go into the Barbican. There will be places around where we can pick up a sandwich. I think it'll just be a sandwich and some pop.
You need something warm. It's cold. Need
all
something
right,
warm,
all right.
Jenny.
Well, if Press is selling a soup that isn't tomato-based, I might go for the soup.
Ideal.
So, I made a very good vegetable soup last week.
Did you?
Yeah, there's a note of suspicion in your voice, but yes, I did. Yeah, bloody well, I bloody fucking well did. Anyway, books.
I have just started a book club book called The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne, and it's really good, actually. It's not a new book.
It's been around forever. It's like an incredibly, incredibly popular book. I think it's one of the most bought books in the last few years, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise. Have you read it?
No.
No, it's good. I mean, it's shocking. It's about, unmarried mothers, really, and the horrendous treatment they got from the church. Oh my God, in Ireland in the sort of late 40s. It's shocking, but it's ever so good.
Okay, right, you are. I think a lot of people will have read that, and it will also remind a lot of people to read it because, as I say, I don't know why I haven't done any John Boyne.
Oh, I think he's worth a look. I think you should, yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm reading a recommendation of yours right now from last week, the Dolly Alderton. I downloaded that on my audio, and I'm really enjoying it. It's called Good Material by Dolly Alderton. It's so lively. It's lively and witty, and it's character-driven. And so far, I believe every word, and it's actually made me laugh out loud, which is nigh on impossible. It's turning into one of my favourite books this year. I am only halfway through, so, it can all fall to pieces in the second half.
It won't, will it?
It feels authentic.
Yes, and very current, and but also I don't know, sort of affectionate and really insightful. She's clever. She's a really, really clever writer, and it'll be a brilliant TV series when that's done.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, God. Also, it's the main character has got a slight Brummie accent in the audio. And it's just really charming. And there will be actors even now, thinking, am I going to get a call for that? Because it's definitely going to be snapped up for a telly.
It will. And it's an unusual... I mean, I'm a Brummie myself, so I know. And it is. It's a very good authentic accent in the audible. But it gives him a sort of... what does it give him? A kind of... he's on the back foot. He's with
a vulnerability.
Yes, that nothing else would in a way that is.
That's
just
what I mean about it being. I was talking to Jeff about this because he's also from the Midlands, and I said the character has just got that slight Midlands thing about him that is just isn't, and nobody else has. It's really, really good. I don't know how she's done that because I think she's London born and bred. But anyway, the other book that we have been wading through. After all that, The Bee Sting didn't even win the bloody Booker Prize.
Have you finished it yet?
We still haven't finished it. We've still got 5 hours to go. And, the other night when we were just nodding up off, there was another dollop of hardcore anal sex. Again, just when we were nodding off.
It's not what you want.
It's not what you want, Judith.
No, I don't think... I'm going to keep well clear of that one, I think.
It's become a challenge now. It's become a bit like, we're at the last post of climbing Everest. We're at that last station before the
top.
We had so many emails this week, Judith.
We did. We had some useful ones. We need to remind people two things. The email address, olderwiderpod@gmail.com. We love having your emails. Now, and the other thing we need to remind them of, I don't know whether you've noticed, Jenny, but there's some shoddy people sign off, but they don't tell us their name, their age.
Their age.
We like to know the exact age.
Yeah, we do. But some of our correspondence has got the names. Yes, for example, we had quite a lot of people reminding me that there's such a thing as Parcel Collect. And you can book online a parcel collection, so you never need to go to the post office ever again. You book it and pay for it online, and then they collect it from your doorstep. Costs the same. It's magic. And that's from Kasia. Now, she didn't actually put her...
She didn't. Because it's a useful tip, and I think she does get a gold star for that.
No, we're not giving her gold star because no age. However,
perhaps a silver star, yes.
Silver star, yeah. Sarah, 56 and 1 month, she reminded me that there is a Hobbycraft on Purley Way, Croydon. Got a car park, then you pop over to M&S on the other side of the road for some coleslaw, and then off to IKEA and Dunelm down the road. Now, Sarah, thank you for that. It involves dual carriageway driving.
And?
Well, I'm scared of that.
Oh, yes, you don't like overtaking either. Can't you just keep it to the left? Can't you just go in the slow bit and annoy everybody?
I could get Jeff to take me, couldn't I?
Well, yes. Better excuse, really, wouldn't it?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Well, you see, Sarah, she's 56 and 1 month. Now, Sarah, you've got the measure of us, except for you didn't know about Jenny's phobia, but she's got the measure of us. Thank you very much. Yeah. By the way, did you notice... But, you know, this thing that we started about which shop would we like to be locked in overnight, because we mentioned Hobbycraft, didn't we, last week?
Yes.
Or I did, because you hadn't been. We got an email from Claire McGettigan, age 53 and 8 months. And
McGettigan?
She says...
I like that.
Yeah. She says, she talks about cushions. And then she says, as for being locked in a shop overnight, my daughter and I have always fancied Waterstones. Comfy chairs, tons of books to peruse, and a cafe for all the drinks and snacks. She's got a point.
She has got a good point, apart from the fact that the cafes in Waterstones aren't all that, and there's no booze.
Well, this is very true, and you wouldn't be able to find any, would you? Nor would you in Hobbycraft. But
I'd have to take my own in. I'll tell you what, I'm going to plan a sort of overnight bag for being locked in a shop, and I'm going to have it upon my person at all times. I'm going to have a rucksack, and it's just going to have a bottle of Dark Horse Chardonnay just for emergencies.
And a pillow, a squashy pillow, some emergency snacks. Yes, I think it could catch on. I think it's a new staycation idea.
What we're going to do, though, is we're going to start a craze of people hiding in toilets and then being locked in and doing it on purpose.
Oh, they are, aren't they?
Got to watch that.
They do take us rather literally sometimes.
Yeah. But we dare you to do it. Come on. this one made me laugh. It was really nicely written by Zara, 63 years and 7 months. Dear Jenny and Judith, I'm going to land the blame squarely at your feet for the way my weekend panned out. Having listened to your podcast as usual on Friday, I was tempted to dip my toe into the crown. Suffice to say, I barely left home on Saturday and Sunday. Never made it out of my weekend trackies. Ate every single snack and chocolate bar in the place and dreamt every night of Moo Moo and Dodie. I completed the series. Please be more cautious of your recommendations in future, as it appears that as a woman in her twilight years, I can no longer exercise caution in my viewing habits once hooked. Lots of love. Nice one, Zara. Nice one.
Yes. Guilty as charged, I think we are there, aren't we, really?
I think we definitely are. So, is that it for our roundup of emails this week, Judith?
We could go on, but let's save two for next week, shall we?
Yeah, in case we don't get any.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And what have you got planned for the rest of the day?
I'd like to go for a bike ride, but it's very frosty. Might be a bit dangerous.
Judith, watch yourself. Watch yourself.
Okay. What about you?
I'm going to... I've got a little article to write. I might go and get... something from the dry cleaners, but then again, I might not. I don't know, Judith. I don't feel I have to go out today.
Oh, yes, it's too cold, isn't it? It's a good excuse
Going out to the theatre.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes.
There we go. It's a cosy day. I think it's going to be a cosy day. Mm-mm-mm. It's a Thursday now. We wish you a very happy weekend. December is here. We cannot deny it anymore, Judith. There are gifts to buy, cards to make.
Yes. It's that time of year. Bye. Right,
I'm going to go and buy some port. That's what I'm going to do. Bye.
Doodle pip. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.